Hey everyone, this is Austin Scher here with We Write About Music, and today I am super happy to have on Joshua Marquez. He has just released a fantastic new record called Recycled Soundscapes, and I'm super excited to talk to him all about it. Josh, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your teaching and your life to be here. How are you? What's going on?
I'm well, yeah, as Austin mentioned, I'm teaching, so I'm based in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, but right now I'm in South Bend, Indiana, teaching at a composer's, we call it an intensive, where it's a couple short weeks of very intense instruction and private lessons and kind of workshopping through ideas. So we have 16 composers ranging from undergraduate composers all the way through master's and doctoral students. And people who are actually have a couple of professors out there. They are just coming back to hone their skills, and so yeah, it's a lot of fun. I do this every year. This is my 10th year doing this,
Oh,
and
wow.
I find it really, inspiring when I'm exhausted when I walk away because they're like 14-hour days. But
Oh, yeah.
I this is like but one of couple of afternoons I have like a couple of hours of a break, so I'm
Nice.
excited to talk about music. Still talk about music. I'm in that
Yeah.
mindset. But it's a lot of fun to like look at a lot of music, engage with a lot of music, and kind of think critically about music and composition and the songwriting and the compositional
Yeah.
process. So yeah, I mean, maybe this is a good time to have this discussion since I'm
I think it's kind of the perfect time. I was going to say
yeah.
you're fully immersed in the world of music right now, so let's keep the conversation going. So you're gearing up right now to release this record, and obviously I've taken the time to listen to it. And the first thing that I will say is for anyone that's going to listen on a nice pair of headphones because there is so much going on. It's an instrumental record, and I feel like even using the word experimental doesn't even scratch the surface of what this is. And so yeah, normally the first thing I ask is like, what's it about lyrically? But there are no lyrics. So I want to hear from you, like, I guess what was the inspiration behind creating this? How did it come about? And just, yeah, let's just kick it off there.
Sure. Yeah, great question. So I actually have a copy of, well, I have several copies with me, but this is
Sure.
the album in question. It's called Recycled Soundscapes, and I composed it and recorded it last year. And forgive me as I go on this kind of ramble, but
Please ramble away. I'm
okay,
serious.
yeah, it came about through this artist residency I did at. This place called Revolution Recovery, which is a recycling center, commercial recycling center in Philadelphia, in Philly, and they have a program there called the Recycled Artist in Residency, or RARE, as I may refer to
Okay.
it casually. So I was one of the artists in residence last year, and so I spent kind of the spring and summer and early fall months. Doing some field recordings, engaging with workers, engaging with the space. And as you can imagine, and you've listened to the record, there's a lot of kind of mechanical sounds of
Oh,
people
yeah.
sorting materials, the mechanical sounds of the machines working. There's more field recordings of just like tiny little moments of things being sorted and dropped and broken and placed into the right place and things being crunched. And it took a lot of inspiration from this. So when I was awarded the residency, this is kind of the project I proposed, is to create an album of music that has the theme of recycling or the theme of like the waste stream. So the idea of things being thrown away.
Sure.
So these are sounds that we don't normally, we listen to, we hear them, but
They're
we
very
don't really listen to
passive.
them.
Yeah, they're just
Yeah,
passive
I mean, they
life
signify
sounds.
something. We hear
Sure.
a dumpster backing up and dumping,
Yeah.
stuff into a big pile of like a landfill.
Sure.
And we have an association with that, but we don't really listen to the intricacies and the beauty of it. So it was my goal to utilize everything in the waste stream. So everything from the microphones that I used to the recording devices that I used came from the waste stream. So I had a lot of reel-to-reel kind of quarter-inch tape, old school
Sure.
thing people were throwing away, a lot of cassettes and cassette decks that I used, but all the way down to microphones that were, some of them were perfectly fine. They just ended up in the
Just
landfill,
there. Wow.
tired of them, or maybe somebody passed away and their relatives just threw everything out.
Yeah.
So I'm sifting through all of this garbage, you know, quite literally, and some of the microphones are broken, but the quality is kind of interesting. Maybe it filters it in a certain way, and I utilize that. So I gather all of this material, and then it's up to me to take it home and take this tape and digitize it and stretch it and compose music and harmonize with it, carve little melodies out. I didn't cheat, you know. I found some instruments in the waste stream, a lot of children's instruments actually that are in there. So the melodies you hear may be from a some kind of old children's percussion instrument or a toy piano or a kind of a cheap synthesizer that somebody threw away. Some guitars that are in there that don't really sound like guitars, so maybe I shouldn't say that. Things that are, you know, more typical instrument making devices. So through the process of gathering the material and finding a space to carve it out, I then wondered, you know, how can I recycle the sound back into the dump? You know, so I, you know, on the back cover of this album, there's a big picture of a 40-yard dumpster, and what I did was halfway through the residency in the summer, about 1 year ago, I took these little sound exciters and I put a couple dozen inside the dumpster, and then I created a composition and I performed it live. So I didn't use any speakers. I turned the dumpster into a speaker through a little vibrations and magnet, and it's all of the material I had gathered from the dump that I'm, you know, altering and manipulating and turning into harmony and melody and playing back into the dump. Then I, in this very meta way, I recorded that and mixed some of the two recordings together. So you get some of this interesting, you know, dumpster filtration. You know, it's kind of like recording, you know, in a
First time
bathroom or
anyone
something.
has said that word before. 100%.
Maybe, you know,
I don't
yeah, and so it's kind of a blend of those two recordings. And the album has two tracks, you know, if you will. It's two sides of the record. I see it more as like one long piece, you know, one long track or something. But I did divide it, I mean, for practical reasons, for two sides of the record. But also, it's a smooth transition. And on the record, it's not quite that smooth because I did have to find a place to break it. But the first track is called The Sorting Line, and that's where the workers and the employees and the machines are working to sort materials, wood from metal, from, you know, landfill materials. And I thought that was really interesting and rhythmic, and there was some interesting droning going on there that I harmonized with. And then the second track, which is the B side of the record, is called the Tipping Floor. And that's the actual kind of landfill area where the dump trucks are backing up and dumping the material onto it. So it's a little bit more growly and industrial. I rather like the second side a little bit more than the first side. But that's also where I was able to salvage a lot of raw material. Like there's a good bit of piano sounds on there that are synthesizers that I found. And I took it right from the tipping floor. So in many ways, I tried to stay consistent with moving as a narrative from the sorting line to the tipping floor. And just use the materials that I found in each of those locations to create the music. I know that was a long kind of rant, but
No, it's listen, it's the exact answer that I wanted because listen, all day long, like, you know, I talk to people about their music and it's like it's either straightforward rock music or pop music. And I think one of the most difficult things about making music nowadays is like, how do I stand out from the pack? You know what I mean? Production has really taken off where you can sort of infuse sounds of the past and this and that, but at the same time, like, and I sincerely, wholeheartedly mean this. It is so difficult to like pique my attention nowadays when it comes to music because I'm just constantly ingesting new things. This so stands out in such like an organic, beautiful way. Like you really took something that is just happening in the world around us and you made music out of it. And it's commendable, like as an like it breathes art. I don't know. I really could talk about it for a while, but it's just straight up impressive. How did you first come up with the concept of this? You know, as opposed to like, I'm going to make another pop track. I'm going to make another rock track. Like, nope, I'm going to record this and I'm going to do this. And it's like making, like, it's like a collage. You're like, well, if I take a little bit of this and a little bit of that and I put it together, like, I've got something.
Yeah, that's a great question. One point to deviate, and I'll answer that just because I forgot to mention, but the record is
Oh, and
pressed
it's beautiful.
on eco mixed vinyl. So that is, that's
Perfect.
a vinyl. It's a mix of, I couldn't control the color, but it's recycled vinyl. So it
Yeah,
further
yeah, yeah.
played with the recycling. But that ties into the point of, you know, how, why did I decide about this? And it goes back to, I've been thinking about this a lot. And as a matter of fact, when I was a kid, you know, my family worked in the antique business. So
Oh,
we had like an antique
interesting.
store and we went to flea markets. And when I was a little kid, you know, I'd run errands for
Yeah.
other dealers, you know, antique dealers, when
Sure.
we'd be at trade shows and things. And they would give me like a couple bucks and they said, go get me a sandwich and bring it back. You can keep the change.
There
So
you
what I
go.
did was I pocket the change and then I would go around to the booths when I was really little and I would buy some of the cheapest things that I thought were cool. Those ended up being tape players and like broken instruments or like novelty kind of sound making devices because I really liked music and sound.
Sure.
So I was making these kind of odd soundscapes when I was a kid before I went to any kind of conservatory or training and had any formal training in music. So I think I'm reverting back to something that I really found novel and enjoyable as a kid.
Sure.
And then just playing with, again, like the concept, I think being, you can unlock a lot of creativity by focusing on something and forcing yourself to work within a space. And
Yeah.
so it's like whatever I find there is I have to make something out of it.
Right.
And it doesn't limit me because I'm not a purist about things. If I need to deviate from it, I will. I didn't
Sure.
have to for this because it just the material was just so beautiful there that I was able to really enjoy the music and enjoy the sounds there and transform it in whatever way I wanted. But yeah, I think it was just sitting there and it interested me to think about recycling sounds and recording and the idea of recording and what is recording. You know, recorded music is something, it's a place in time. And we try to perfect it and we try to make it, you know, so
Right.
X, Y, or Z. What
Absolutely.
if we didn't? Or what if we tried to make something perfect that was so imperfect?
Yep.
You know, and I think maybe the more obvious answer, which is it plays into it as well, is just kind of reevaluating our relationship with waste and waste culture and throwing things out and
Oh, makes
repair.
sense. Yeah.
And, you know, especially with technology these days, you know, especially in the recording industry and with music devices, like the digital devices are hard to repair because
Yeah.
once one thing breaks, you can't repair it. But analog devices, older devices, you can replace a belt, you can replace a tube, you can replace
Exactly.
like little tiny things and get more mileage out of it. So it harkens back to an era when we, you know, using these vintage and thrown away technologies to this era where maybe we were a little bit more environmentally responsible, but also not environmentally
Yeah.
responsible necessarily.
I
But
love that because no,
yeah.
because even though there's no words, you're explaining the message of it all. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't need words to convey a theme. And that's why I love these conversations, because otherwise, if someone was to just discover it and click the play button, they may not have the context. And I think the context means everything in this situation. About how long did it take you to put this thing together from start to finish?
That's a good question. I spent a few months just gathering material,
Okay.
and then it actually happened relatively pretty quickly.
Oh, all right.
Probably between March of last year and let's say August, September was when
Okay.
I think it was finished.
Sure.
Yeah, and then of course I you know, vinyl takes a long time to press, so
Oh, nowadays?
yeah,
Oh, geez.
nowadays.
Yeah.
So it's been sitting on my shelf kind of
Right.
as a finished project for a while, and it finally got the records pressed and all of that.
Yeah.
And that was an important aspect as well, to have like a physical media to go with,
Absolutely.
but just because it recontextualizes things as well.
I fully
I mean, I
agree.
hope that people could find some stimulation or enjoyment or like emotional connection to it without the context, but I think it deepens. I
They
would hope
will.
it deepens.
They will. It's not 100% necessary, but I can tell
Yeah.
you in this situation, like, it only amplifies the greatness of it all. I also want to point out, like, I love that you went the eco wax route. I've noticed that becoming a really popular trend among artists nowadays that are like, yeah, like we prop up this, you know, eco conscious theme of our band or whatever, and then it's like they don't practice what they preach at the same time, and like this is that. And I love that you did that. And I love that it's like, yeah, I don't, you know, whatever color you're gonna get, but just know this is how it was made with scraps. I love that.
Yeah, I mean it plays back into the like, you know, I showed up several days to the site and it was raining. So I was limited to being inside. Or it was really windy, and so I had to kind of you get what you get with the eco vinyl. You get what you get with the sounds as well. And it's what you make,
Exactly.
you know.
Right. Which is even cooler because, like, yeah, it wasn't entirely up to you. Obviously, you do so much on the back end to piece things together and this and that, but, like, I don't know. That's the organic nature of it. It's like there's again a lot of artists that do field recordings, and it's so natural and it's unpredictable. It's not like this is the melody and you can follow it along. It's like literally every millisecond is you're guessing what could happen next, and it adds that sort of excitement and buzz back into music, which for a lot of people has been lost.
Yeah, it's also kind of we like to compartmentalize and identify sound.
Yeah.
And so this kind of challenges that in a way that, you know, one of my favorite sounds on the record is I took these giant 2x4, I don't know, I think they were 2x4s, but they're huge. They're from
Yeah.
Commercial Project. And one of the guys at the dump would put them in a vice grip so that they were held in place. And I
Sure.
took the other one and I it's like a string instrument, I bowed it. And
Oh.
so this creak and this vibration produce this wonderful kind of bass tone. And so sampling that and turning it into some of the bass sounds that you may hear,
Sure.
it's just two pieces of kind of rough wood rubbing against one another.
Wild.
You know, but it's just
Wild,
like it,
yeah.
yeah, I mean, it's no different from somebody taking a violin and scratching horsehair across it and going, this could sound great, you know.
This could sound great, but also, yeah, you're doing things that people haven't done before, and that's again so rare in music. Another thing I really want to know is, and I don't want to take away from this record too much, a question that I love to ask is like, are you looking to experiment in the future with your music? And I think in this scenario, like you've not necessarily maxed out the experimentation. I suppose the new question could be, are you maybe going to go back to something more traditional in the future?
Sure, yeah. I re released a record earlier this year called, let me see if I can remember the title. It's a tough title to remember the correct order. It's Words
Sure.
Replace, Ghosts Replace Bodies.
Okay.
And in many ways, it sounds more traditional. You know, it has more
Yeah.
harmony and melody than one. It also utilizes field recordings, but also instruments as well,
Sure.
more conventional instruments. I release quite a lot of guitar music, solo guitar work. That's pretty, I would say, conventional, even if the harmonies and the melodies are a little bit
Sure.
more adventurous and avant. It's using conventional instruments, or
Okay.
instrument is that maybe is the best way to put it. And then I compose a lot of music for, you know, concert music for orchestra and chamber
Yeah.
music. Again, maybe a little bit more adventurous in terms of harmony and melody and
Course.
sound, but utilizes, you know, hundreds of years, you know, instruments that are within the tradition of hundreds of years. So
Right. Totally understand.
yeah, I mean
Awesome.
I'm constantly trying to merge these two. So a lot of the projects that I'm doing coming up utilize some kind of experimental electronic augmentation to an instrument where I'm
Okay.
performing cello and guitar live, or recording it live and kind of processing it through these technologies and things.
Yeah.
I'm struggling to really marry the two ideas, even though I think I've been doing it, I haven't done it quite. I'm happy with the results, but I'm never happy with
Yeah.
the results. I always want to push it or
I
pull it back some
understand.
way. And you know, you capture a moment and you're like, I have to just let it exist. But then
Yeah.
you're like, I could make that better, you know,
I
or
agree.
that kind of didn't work. And that's why artists release multiple things. Otherwise, the first thing they release would be it,
Yeah,
you
I
know, you're
agree.
happy.
I mean, you strike me as a person where the creative brain never stops. Like, whether it be, I mean, truly anything. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you hear something that could be music, or there's a project happening, got to work on it. And I mean, I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but I get that feeling from you.
Yeah, I think so. I think I always relate this to, I'm actually wearing a Thrasher shirt today,
Yeah.
like skateboarding, you know, with
Sure.
skateboarders, looking at architecture, looking at curbs and benches and rails, and seeing if it's possible. What's possible on this object, on this kind of thing, this obstacle, and seeing things like hostile architecture, right, on benches where they prevent skateboard, you know, things like that. Yeah, how do you work around it? Is there a workaround? Like, there's always something in the creative brain, whether it be in an athletic pursuit or a sonic sound pursuit, or, you know, writers constantly writing words and things like that.
That's a great connection. I never even realized that the two could be so close together, but they are. When you put it like that, like, they truly are. You're always making that connection. And is it possible? I don't know. Let's find out. Let's find a workaround. That's a beautiful thing.
Sometimes it's passive and you're not really conscious of it. And you go,
but that's the way you're wired. That's the way you are. Like, it just, you become that person. And yeah, again, like, you're an artist in any medium. I think people think like that in a way.
Yeah, I think so.
We'll see. I don't know. I have a couple more questions for you. I want to know, because I guess we're officially in the back half of this year. What is this year looking like? What else is on the horizon, if anything? No pressure if there isn't.
Yeah, that's a good question. So actually last October, I had a daughter as my first kid. So
oh, congrats. That's huge.
Thank you. So the beginning of this year was a little slower because I just put things, I moved things to the back half of the year. So I just had some time to just transition to a new era of my life and just enjoy being with my daughter. So this is kind of, I mean, teaching here, but I've had a couple of performances earlier in the year, but really everything kind of is backloaded for me in this year because it was just one of those things of like, if I can move it, I'll move it so that I find my footing, and I'm still finding my footing with this, but so I have a couple of gallery installs, some like sound art installations, which are longer term projects that kind of exist less as kind of formal songs or compositions and more exist as like soundscapes, not to play back on the original title of this album was actually called Music for Wasted Spaces.
That's
and it was
not
kind
a
of
bad title either.
I preferred it, and I'm not going to lie, but
in an alternate universe, like, it exists.
Yeah, it was a play on like the Brian Eno, like Music for Airports or something.
Yeah.
And the residency and the site Revolution Recovery, they were like, our space isn't really a wasted space. And I was like, well, it's not really about that, but I understand your reservations with me utilizing it.
Yeah.
So this was like my, and I'm really happy with the title, but this was my back pocket title of like, if that doesn't work out, I'll use this. So yeah, creating more gallery installs with soundscapes. So I have a couple of those in Philly coming up, and some more performances, some improvised performances, and some kind of electronic performances where, you know, I do this kind of stuff on the fly with pre-recorded material, and I'm mixing it, and it's almost like a DJ set, but maybe a little bit more kind of wild and not like as beat driven and more like timbrally driven and texturally driven with things. So yeah, a lot of projects coming up. I just finished a new album of prepared guitar works, which is, you know, like taking the guitar and putting weird stuff all over it and playing it and getting weird sounds out of
Not
it.
Not surprising, you know, kind of, but I can't wait to check it out.
So I don't know when that's going to release it. I just finished it and I'm kind of shopping around some options for it. But yeah, I mean, those are the kind of things on the horizon.
Nice. Lots coming up.
Lots coming up. I'm
Very
performing
cool.
At Philadelphia Fringe Fest.
Nice.
Which is, you know, as you probably know, it's huge. So I think it's the United States' biggest fringe festival.
Sure.
Not the world's largest, but it's the largest in the U.S.
That's pretty big.
Yeah. So I'm finishing up like a 35-minute piece for that for two players. Yeah. So
sweet.
Myself and a friend of mine are performing it. That's my next big thing. I have
lots to look forward to
right here. I'm just like working on it and trying to finish it. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So again, like, it's very back heavy. I think,
and that's okay.
In a normal year, I would have had one or two of these things maybe earlier, but
it's not every year you have a child.
No,
so
it's not every year.
It's all good. Josh, my last question for you here is basically for the person that is going to discover you from this, What is an opening message that you'd like to say to them before they listen to your music for the first time?
It's a good question. I think give it time and just kind of lose yourself in it. You know, allow yourself to just exist in the space, in the sonic space, in the sound world. You know, I think if you try to categorize things too quickly, too much too quickly, you can lose yourself in this spiral. You know,
Sure.
it's kind of like being at a party and you're trying to listen to every conversation that's happening among people. You can't really comprehend that. Our brain can't do it. So just let yourself kind of live in the soup of sound or the soup of conversation. And then, you know, I invite you to listen again if you enjoyed it, you know, and try to then maybe pick some things out, but just, you know, kind of allow it to exist. Hopefully allow it to exist.
I think that's a great answer. No, truly, I think one listen is not enough because there really is so much going on. Like the brain can't possibly comprehend everything at once. It takes one or two or five times. So I urge everyone to do that. And Josh, I want to thank you so much, seriously, for taking the time out of your already busy day. I know that. And please let me plug your music for you one more time here. For everyone that may have missed it, the record is called Recycled Soundscapes. We will have the links in our article so that you can listen and you can purchase vinyl. We'll have all the Bandcamp links and can follow along. And obviously, there's so much more in the horizon right now. So I say now is the time to pay attention. Josh, thank you so much for your time. It really means a lot.
Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. All right. I hope you have an amazing rest of your day. Try not to lose your mind teaching too much. And yeah, we'll stay in touch. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, take care. Bye bye.